Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Right. Helps for gospel conversations. Let me just read something to you. You may not know the name Tom Rainer. Tom Rainer is the president of Lifeway Christian Resources. Well, this is really an interesting group. Well, I got the teenagers back here in the back corner. I got people back here, and we got a lot of space here, but that's okay. Tom Rainer does a podcast. He really evaluates churches and is trying to produce materials and things that will help churches grow. And he does a little podcast and found this, and I just want to read some of these things to you. He's talking about evangelism. He says this: we still need personal contact with non-members for evangelistic reasons. The first place people come into contact with your church is likely no longer the worship service, but the church website. Interesting. He says, as much as things change, one thing remains the same: the gospel still works. When it comes to evangelism, do something, he says. Okay? He says, most of the time, multi-site and multi-venue are done to intentionally reach new people, not accommodate existing members. Then he says, growing churches have shifted from a you come posture to a we go posture. And then the seven shifts we are seeing in church outreach, he's saying, from in-home visitation to lunch or coffee shop visits, all right? From newspaper ads to Facebook ads. By the way, I remember we used to have a big ad in the phone book, the Yellow Pages. The thing was like almost $300 a month. And do you even have a Yellow Pages? Okay. So you think things change. And so here's another shift from worship services to the church website as the front door. From complex gospel presentations to simple gospel presentations. From multi-service to multi-venue and multi-site. By the way, I was just talking to Chrissy's mom yesterday, and she has left First Baptist Daytona. Can you? Not really, no. I said that to shake you up. She has gone out with about 15 or 20 other people from the home church to help start a new location of their church. I just thought that was pretty cool. That's pretty innovative. For her to say, you know, I'll go somewhere new to start a new venue. Well, that's happening a lot. Number six, from attractional to going. Number seven, from national and international giving to contextual giving. There's a lot of things we could embellish there and talk about. But when you think about outreach, I want us to just think about some helps for gospel conversations. Now, in Matthew 28, I want you to take your Bibles and open them to Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That is the Great Commission. And an important part of the discipling process, and here's your first blank in the listening guide, an important part of the discipling process is evangelism. That is where we reach out to those that do not know Christ. In other words, that's the going of the Great Commission. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you to be fishers of men in Matthew 4:19. Now, here's your second blank. If we are not fishing, then we are not following. Church family, we've got to be fishing. Christian, we've got to be fishing. If we are not fishing, then we are not following. We are to be ambassadors sharing Christ to the world. In 2 Corinthians, if you want to follow that, we don't have a ton of scripture we're going to dig into, but we do have these verses that are very important. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 and following. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. He has committed to believers the message that God wants to know mankind. He wants to be reconciled to mankind. Verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. God is using our lips. God is using our love. God is using our desire to get the gospel to people. He's using us as his ambassador, as his agent to get the gospel out. As though, this is verse 20, the middle, as though God were pleading through us. Then he says, we implore you on Christ's behalf, speaking to these Corinthians, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Number three, we need to be intentional about having gospel conversations. All right? These can be with colleagues at work, friends at school, family, people to follow up with from church. We have guests that come to see us, and we follow up on them, and we want to, we feel like that if the Lord has blessed us with a guest, it's our responsibility to try to get Jesus Christ to them, and so that's an opportunity there. And then quick acquaintances at the store, etc. You have an opportunity. Someone comes, works on your house. You have an opportunity to give a gospel witness in that way. But the bottom line is, we need to be intentional about having gospel conversations. Now, this is the main thing I wanted to tell you tonight, what I'm getting into right here. Number four. The biggest problem in evangelism is not knowing the gospel. Let me ask you a question. If someone busted through that door right now, screaming, I want to be saved. I want Jesus to be my Lord. Can somebody tell me how to do that? Chances are, if someone was begging you and I to lead them to Christ, we could probably get that done. It's not that we don't know the gospel. The biggest challenge, and by the way, some of y'all may know the name Peter Lord. Peter Lord was a pastor. He set this up in his worship service one time. He had a big congregation in Merritt Island, had a balcony, and he was preaching. And somebody in the very back said, I want to be saved. And he kind of went on. You know, sometimes in big church, I don't know if they were on TV or not, but, you know, you just kind of keep going, you know. Maybe it'll go away, you know. Somebody's just trying to disrupt, you know. And so he just kept on preaching. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. And finally he said, sir, do you have a problem? He said, I want to be saved. And Peter Lord said, excuse me, sit down. It's not that part in the service. And he was making the point that, you know, we need to let God interrupt us in our services sometimes. But anyway, I thought that was an interesting lesson that he gave. But the biggest problem in evangelism is not knowing the gospel, but how to get into the gospel. How do you take a secular conversation and turn it to the gospel? Now, this is the little sentence that has helped me more than anything. Now, I have to admit this. A lot of my evangelism is with people that have visited us at the church. So this little sentence really helped me. You can adapt this into a regular coffee shop conversation or whatever, but here's what I say to people, and there's some other things that I didn't want to bog us down in giving you all kinds of, I wanted to get to the crux of it. Here's what I say to people. I ask them about their religious background. I said, did you grow up going to church? People are normally not offended by that statement. I've had people say, no, I didn't grow up going to church. I've had people say, yeah, I went to church all the time. A lot of times I'll say, well, what church did you attend? Or what denomination did you attend? Where did you attend? That kind of a thing. And they'll normally very politely say to me, I went to this church, you know, growing up, but I've not really been going. And then I'll say this, you know, one of the things that we emphasize at North Central is knowing for sure that we have eternal life. Now, listen to what's happened. I've gone from talking about maybe their interests, their family, and I have asked them a question about their church background. You see where it sort of started turning the conversation. But still, it's different. It's still hard to go from where did you grow up going to church to do you know Jesus? Okay? So that sentence turns the corner. And here's a way I use it. You know, one of the things, Dave, talking to you, Dave, one of the things, Dave, that we emphasize at North Central is knowing for sure that we have eternal life. For me, now I didn't put this on the paper, but you can write there, right after that, give your testimony. Now notice, I have not said one thing to Dave about, you know, that you don't know Christ, you're not saved, you know, you're if you don't know Jesus, you're going to hell. I don't say anything like that. I say, one of the things we emphasize, Dave, at North Central is knowing for sure we're going to heaven. For me, I grew up going to church, but there was not a relationship with God. And I give my testimony, and I'll talk about how that I got involved in sports. And, well, I thought, you know, if I could be good at sports or I had the right friends, I would be popular and I would be happy. And then I talk about how that my dad died when I was 15 and how that I was really searching at that time. And it was about that time that somebody invited me to a youth camp. And at that camp, I gave my life to Christ. And I received God's gift of eternal life. Now notice that you know, you're talking in a secular way. And the next thing I'm saying to someone is I'm saying, I gave my life. I began a relationship to Christ and received God's gift of eternal life. And then I say this, may I ask you a question? Now, I have done this so long and it's been very, very rare. As a matter of fact, I cannot even think of one occurrence where somebody said no. They say sure. And at that point, there's a number of questions that you could ask. Go down to number 6 on this listening guide. This is normally the question that I ask. These are called the 2 diagnostic questions. You know, a doctor makes a diagnosis. He evaluates your symptoms and he makes a diagnosis. He says, hey, you've got strep throat. And you can either have a shot or you can take these pills for 10 days, whatever. And, you know, you'll get well. So he makes a diagnosis. Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse at 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia wrote these questions. These are his questions. But I think they're amazing. And a lot of times this is what I'll say. Now follow me. I've said to the person I'm talking to, I've said, you know, Dave, one of the things we emphasize at our church, and if you're not talking to somebody that is that's been a visitor at the church and you don't have that entree, you can say, you know, one of the things that's important to me, Dave, is knowing for sure that I'm going to heaven. But I have the gift of eternal life. For me, and then I give my testimony, and then I say, may I ask you a question? And then I'll normally ask this question right here. Have you come to a place, Dave, in your spiritual life where you know for certain if you died, you'd go to heaven? Now, then sometimes you can go into his second question, because his second question diagnoses whether or not Dave, what he is trusting in. So here's the second question. They may say, yeah, I do. I say, well, let me ask you this way. Suppose you were to stand before God. And I always say it like this. But suppose you were to die tonight. And I say, I never wish that on you. I always say it that way because I always feel a little funny saying, suppose you died tonight. You know, I don't like to hit them in the eyes with that. So I'll normally say, suppose you, something happened and you died tonight. And I never wish that on you, Dave, but you stood before God and God was to say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you tell God? Now, y'all, you would not believe the different answers I've gotten. Of course, we know the correct answer is I have put my faith and trust in Jesus. And it's nothing that I deserve. It's what Christ has done for me. That is the faith answer. That is the trusting answer. But you have everything from, well, I've never killed anybody, to I was born in America, to my father was a deacon, or I go to church. That's probably the number one answer. I go to church. And what does all of that diagnose? It diagnoses that person is trusting in works, something they're doing, see, to get them into heaven. So I don't want to drill down on this too much, because I want you to get that main tool. One of the things we emphasize at North Central, or one of the things that's very important to me, is knowing for sure that I have eternal life. And maybe in a gospel conversation around sitting in a coffee shop or something, you talk to someone and you've gotten to know them a little bit, and you just say to them, hey, I just wonder, do y'all attend church anywhere? And they may say, no, you know, I got burned out on church. You know, a lot of people say that. I got burned out on church. Boy, there are so many people that have been hurt in churches. But then when they say that, say, you know, for me, it's not always about church. For me, what's important is knowing for sure that I have eternal life. And then I give my testimony. And then I end it by saying, hey, could I ask you a question? Have you come to the place, I'm not talking about church, but have you come to the place in your spiritual life where you know for certain if you die, you go to heaven? Now, another thing you could do right there instead of asking the second question is you could say, could I share with you how I know I'm going to heaven? What you've just done is you've not said to them, Dave, what about you, man? You know, you're not putting him on the spot at that point. You're saying, could I just share with you my understanding of how a person gets to heaven? And then you can use one of these tools to share the gospel. That sentence and that way of turning a regular secular conversation into a gospel conversation has been the single greatest thing that has helped me in my witnessing life. So, some other questions that you could ask people would be the ones that are listed there. Do you have any kind of spiritual beliefs? To you, who is Jesus? All of these things are meant to get spiritual conversation going. Do you think there's a heaven or a hell? If you died tonight, where would you go? That's similar to Barnhouse's question down in number 6. By the way, if what you were believing is not true, would you want to know? You know, you could ask that. Those are just some examples there. Now, we're almost done. I just want to give you some tools for the conversation. So now you've said to the person, hey, could I share with you how I know for sure I'm going to heaven? So from there, what do you do? All right, if you have a Bible, let me see it. Can I see you if you have a Bible with you? Okay, open it up to Romans 3:23, and I want you to mark in your Bible real quickly what is known as the Romans Road. I learned this as a teenager after I gave my life to the Lord. This is probably used as much as any witnessing tool ever, the Romans road to salvation, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, after Romans 3:23, in the margin of your Bible, just put 6:23 and then turn to 6:23. Now, I have these underlined in my Bible. You can do that later. But you start with Romans 3:23, and if you can't remember that, then in the flyleaf of your Bible, if you like that word flyleaf, that's an old way to say it, isn't it? In the margin or up front in your Bible, one of the blank pages, put Romans Road, Romans 3:23, and that's where you know to start, okay? So you put 6:23, and then after that, put 5, 8, and 9. And go to that spot, and in Romans 5:8 it says, but God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. All right? After 5, 8, and 9, right in the margin of your Bible, 10, 9, and 10. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then I always end it, the Romans road, with John 3:16, the most familiar verse of Scripture. For God so loved the world, I'll say to the person, what I've just shared with you is the gospel message. It's called the Romans road of salvation. And it is summarized in probably the most well-known verse in all the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now that's the Romans road. You should have a copy of the Steps to Peace with God. All right, that is a little booklet. Where's mine? Well, I had one. Does anybody have one extra I can look at? Miss Kelly gives up her copy for me. Okay. Steps to Peace with God. Billy Graham wrote this, and there's a lot of the Romans Road that is in this. Okay, this is a great tool. This is called a guided conversation booklet. Most of these that I'm going to show you are guided conversations. Now, you can memorize a gospel presentation, but here's the thing that I think is neat. If you can read, you can witness with one of these. You don't have to memorize it. And so you take this booklet and you say, hey, you've said to that person, hey, can I share with you how I know I'm going to heaven? They say, sure. I say, well, look, I've got it written down in a little booklet here. I've got it displayed in a little booklet here. One of the reasons I like a guided conversation booklet, it uses the ear gate. They hear the gospel, but they also see it because there's illustrations. For example, look on page, about the second page to turn over. There's a picture of people on one side and God on the other, and they see that chasm. Okay, so it uses the ear gate and it uses the eye gate. So that's another one, the Steps to Peace with God. This one is called the Life Conversation Guide, or the Three Circles. Now, can I say this to you? And I just want to give you this. One of the things that is a criticism of many of the gospel presentations is that we don't begin with creation. We just start with, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. As a matter of fact, in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, one of the things I like about the three circles is that it begins with God's design. God's design, when God created you, he created you with the design, and it was our sin that got us off track. So I wanted you to have that as a tool as well. And then there are other ones, the four spiritual laws, the bridge to life, letter D there. There are also survey questionnaires that you can use when you're when you're out. A lot of our students use that on the campus. They'll just go and ask. There's a survey that they can do, and you can get these online that'll help you get into the gospel. Now, I left out one thing I wanted to say to you up in number two. We must understand the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 5 is a summation of the gospel. We have to understand the gospel, okay? For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. Can you go to the next one, verse 4? Thank you. And he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas and then by the 12. That's the gospel, and we have to understand that gospel. Now, quickly, I've talked about the two diagnostic questions. Some say that it takes 7 contacts to win someone to Christ. Let's face it, I think it takes more than that in these days. Because we used to live in a culture that was seeded with Bible truth. Now we're not. Now we have to build huge bridges to people that do not know Christ. I will say this, and I guess I didn't bring that in here with me. Thought I did. Evangelist Eddie Martin, one time, he actually came to North Central years ago, but he was a great equipper of people in witnessing, and he said the greatest truth. He wrote 4 gospel presentations. A lot of times we'll say, well, hey, what's the gospel presentation you like? Well, I like the steps to peace with God, or I like the 4 spiritual laws. Eddie Martin knew that when you share the gospel with someone, they're not immediately most times going to get saved. And then he would say, well, what do you do when you talk to them again? So Eddie Martin wrote 4 booklets. Here they were. The first one was, Do You Know What It Means to Be Saved? That was the Romans Road. The second one was, Have You Heard of the Second Coming of Christ? He said that was the second greatest truth that was used by the Lord to win people to Christ. The third one, he said, When a man dies, where does he go? And he wrote a whole presentation on giving the gospel, answering the question, When a man dies, where does he go? And then the fourth one, Does God Lose His Patience? In other words, hey, I've talked to you 3 times about this. Does God lose his patience? And he uses that verse of scripture that says the Spirit of God does not always strive with man. And he basically says to a person, listen, you've heard the gospel. You need to evaluate the gospel and give your life to Christ. So, now, number 8 there, and we're almost done, is Engle Scale. James Engle wrote a book called What's Gone Wrong with the Harvest. And in that book, he's saying we emphasize too much that evangelism is only done when someone prays to receive Christ. I actually wanted to make this a number line, that scale there. So if you'd help me do this real quick, right in the middle of that line, put 0. In other words, you're making a number line. On the left-hand side, you put -10. On the right-hand side, you put +10. You didn't know you were going to have math class here, okay? So can you do that for me? All right. He said on the left-hand side, a -10 on Engle's scale is someone who's an atheist. A +10 is someone who's sold out to the Lord and a multiplying disciple. 0 is the point at which they give their life to Christ. Is everybody with me? Shake your head. Y'all are thinking about that, going down that slide out there. You're not with me on this thing, no. All right, so the 0 is a point at which a person gives their life to Christ. +10 is someone that's a multiplying disciple. -10 is an atheist, all right? He said, I want you to think about a person goes from -1 to +1. They move 2 spots. They go from -1, you share the gospel, they ask Jesus into their life, they're at .0, and now they're a brand new Christian, they're at +1. Are you with me on that? Okay, how many spots did they move? Two. Here's what he said in his book. If you have a person that is a negative seven, and you become their friend, and because you are a follower of Jesus, you have become their friend, and you're building a bridge, and at one point, they're not an atheist, but they're an agnostic number, they're on negative seven, but because of the love you show them, and the service you give to them, and the true concern for them, they move from a negative seven to a negative five. How many spots did they move? Two. Here's what Engle says. That's evangelism too. So I just wanted you to know that. Because some of you are worried. You think, man, I don't know that I can take them from a negative one to a positive one. But I can love someone and they know I have Jesus in my life and they can, and I can move. Now, I want you to move them all the way through, okay? That'd be my goal for you, is to, for you to move them all the way through where they pray to receive Christ and they become a multiplying disciple. But I do want to encourage you that if you have someone in your world that at one point was a negative seven, if you move them two spots, that's just as much evangelism. That's what Engle said, okay? Now, the last thing is number nine. I asked Kelly, my Kelly, this afternoon. I already had this on here, but I asked her this question, and that's why I'm telling you right now. I said, Kelly, what is the number one thing that has helped you in sharing Christ? And she said, seeing someone else do it. And that's this principle number nine. Evangelism is more caught than taught. So here's what I want to end with. We can talk about it in here, because this is teaching, right? This is teaching. It's important. It's important. But the very best thing you could do, period, is find somebody that knows how to witness and go with them. That's the very best thing you could do. As a matter of fact, I want you to pray about this. This fall, in our church, finding a way to get our people connected, those that know how to witness with those that want to learn how to witness. You know what that's called in the New Testament? Equipping. And evangelism is more caught than taught. I had a Sunday school teacher that said, Calvin, here's a man that's visited our class. I want you to go see him, you and Mark. And I don't want you to come back till he gets saved. What? Well, you know what we did? Mr. Marshall said, go, and we went. So we, I don't know what gospel presentation I used, but we shared the gospel with that young man. He was a high school student like us, and he gave his life to Christ. That is not the best way to do it. It would have been better if he had said, go with me, and let me show you how I do it. Okay? So evangelism is more caught than taught. Be praying about an opportunity for you this fall, where we pair up those who know how to share their faith with those that want to learn how to share their faith and see it done. There's nothing more exciting than to watch someone share their faith and someone give their life to Christ. It'll set you on fire for sharing Jesus. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.